Episode 20. In this episode, I am discussing 5 techniques that you can use to win over anger and move it on. And I'll also be providing an update on the Great British Bed Push, a 1,200-mile journey where this 25-year-old Rosie Mae Erdale is pushing a bed on wheels to raise awareness for her charity, Full Reach. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Inside the house at 152 Lavender Lane, the Marshall family was getting ready for bed. Everyone, that is, except for the eldest son, Sean. He was in his room talking to his friend Leo, who had just told Sean that Kathy, Sean's girlfriend, was seen talking to John Smith, Sean's arch enemy, ever since ninth grade when John Smith and Kathy had dated for 2 weeks. Sean had a wicked temper, and upon hearing this news about Kathy, he slammed down the phone and knew he had to go out and find John Smith and tell him to stay away from his girl. Sean's temper had been getting worse and worse, and Mr. and Mrs. Marshall were beside themselves, trying to figure out what to do. That is, until Mr. and Mrs. Marshall began subscribing to the Leading Chaos Podcast. The Marshalls both knew that people get upset and angry due to the loss of self-control. And when Sean's temper is flaring, instead of taking control away from Sean, they could instead help him regain self-control and help their son manage his anger. Meanwhile, Sean was carrying his sneakers down the stairs and pulling up his sagging jeans as he raced into the Marshall's living room. Sean yelled out, "I'll be back in a while." Mr. Marshall said, "It's 10, Sean. Can it wait till tomorrow?" "John Smith is seeing Kathy." "No, it can't wait." Mr. Marshall replied, "Girl trouble? Yeah, but I'll take care of it." Mr. Marshall continued with, "Can I ask you a quick favor?" "What?" said Sean hurriedly. "I'm going to take a slow breath in and then exhale. Please join me." And without waiting, Mr. Marshall started breathing in and letting his chest visibly rise. As he exhaled out slowly and loudly, Sean looked at his father sideways and shook his head. "Just a small favor, Sean. I know you could do it." Sean breathed in and Mrs. Marshall joined in too. With Mr. Marshall leading the breathing exercise, the three Marshalls were able to all breathe out at the same time, and then Sean snickered. "You guys are so weird." Mr. Marshall replied, "It's good to see you smile." And he continued with, "The night is long, and I know you really want to run right out the door, but you can control time right now. How about you and I go talk about this girl trouble and make a plan that you won't regret?" And that is how it rolls. Sometimes in situations where we think that we have absolutely no power or control, we could do simple steps, simple, manageable, easy to do steps, and turn a situation completely around. You know, this situation with Sean and the Marshall family, you could have put any kind of character in there. This could have been a person running out of any home in any place in the world right now. It could be that young person who's feeling beside themselves and not making the best decisions. And what the Marshalls could have done was try to take control and say something like, "You can't leave this house. You walk out of that door right now, young man, and you're not coming back." That doesn't leave much room for anything except power and control. And maybe that works for some people. But I do think that there are other choices, and that is what this episode is all about. So let's peel it away and play with it a little bit and see if you could start integrating what the Marshalls do by being subscribers to this podcast via iTunes and see if it makes sense for you. So what I want to share with you are 5 things that I always think about when I am in that situation working with a person who's really upset and angry. and what I could do for them. So the first thing that we want to do is offer them choices. And that's what Mr. Marshall did. He offered him a choice. He didn't say, this is what you have to do. You walk out of the door, you're never coming back. Don't you do that, young man. You step away from that door. You go back upstairs. He didn't do that. He offered him a choice. I'm going to breathe in. Why don't you join me? And it's not a demand. And he didn't even wait for Sean to choose. He just started going right into the breathing exercise. And, you know, people kind of laugh at me when I bring up these breathing exercises, but I'll tell you, they work. I have a great story that a friend of mine told me once where she was at her home and her older brother came in and he and his wife were, you know, arguing. She showed up a little bit after the brother came in and their two were going back and forth, and she could see her brother getting more and more upset. And these are adults. This isn't a kid like Sean. And she just yelled out, exhale, because she could see her brother was turning red. And he did. He just breathed out. And it's that breath. It gives us a chance to get oxygen into our brain again. By doing a good exhale, you clear it. It's like clearing your throat. It's like sharing that yawn. And I can't say enough how critical it is to get ample oxygen into your brain. Before you laugh at it, actually try it. It might not have worked exactly like that for the Marshalls, but it does have the potential to work. And when we're working in crisis intervention, we're all about the potential. I'm not about roadblocks here. I'm all about the possibilities. And that's what leading chaos is about too. So the first thing we could do is offer choices as they did. The second thing we could do is take care of the person's self-image. And in the case of the Marshalls with Sean, they didn't come down strong on him. Instead of saying, you know, you jerk, you know, you don't do that, or you loser, of course you lost that girl. They didn't say anything like that. Instead, he said, Mr. Marshall said, you know, it's good to see you smile. That was an affirmation right there. Even if it was a snicker, he was looking for that open window, something that affirmed his son, affirmed the connection with the person who's distressed versus degrade them. We use this example, and this is actually, this piece I should say is not in my book, and this is part of the ongoing series, but it's a continuation of the last episode, part 19, which was called Undressing Anger, and I really want to refer you to that. It'll bring you up to snuff if you're not quite following what I'm saying here. I'm on chapter Creating Order, which is chapter 5, and it's discussing where people are beside themselves and angry actions and angry moods or aggression and what we want to do for them. And though these 5 pieces aren't necessarily in there, what I'm going to do on the show notes is I will put them in print so you'll be able to see them if you're not catching them right now and able to write it down. No worries. They are there for you at leadingchaospodcast.com. So taking care of that self-image is really, really critical, because when we are feeling grumpy, the last thing we need to hear from anyone is that you look really, really grumpy. You must be having a really hard time right now. Life really sucks. It's not going to really help. No way. Instead, we want to improve upon the person's self-image, because through that, people are more willing to listen, right? I mean, if you say to somebody, hey, you're looking great today versus looks like you're losing weight, which one do you think they're going to respond to? Let me think about that for myself right now. Am I going to be like, gee, thanks for, you know, I'm losing weight? I don't really like that comment. But if somebody says, you know, you're looking good, that just feels like open on a lot of different levels. That person's just not judging me by my weight. They're judging me by who I am, what I am beaming out to the world. So we take care of self-image. We also offer them choices. And the third thing is we acknowledge a person's power when they're upset and angry. And the Marshalls did that here. They let the young man make his own decisions. The night is long. I know you really want to run right out the door, but you can control time right now. That's a lot right there in that statement. You can control time right now versus you can make the decision not to go out there right now. That doesn't really give or lend itself to much, but you could control time right now. It gives a person pause. And what we really want is that pause. If you get a person to pause when they are in that angry state, what you have essentially done is crack the window open to let in a little bit of breeze and to shift and change the atmosphere. So we always want to make sure that we take care of a person's self-image, acknowledge the power, offer them choices. Number four is address them with respect. And again, the Marshalls did that. They addressed their son with respect. They didn't beat him down and belittle him that he couldn't be an adult here. I know you can control time right now. How about you and I go talk about this girl trouble and make a plan that you won't regret versus you really disappoint me? Oh, so, so different. And then the fifth thing I like you to think about when you, instead of confronting a person's inability to gain self-control, you can instead provide a win-win situation or solution. And that's what the Marshalls also did. They provided it win-win because they never said that you can't go out. That never came into it. And that's a little bit of that whole topic of dropping the content. And dropping the content is where you don't really get into the story and try to like pit view against view. It's like, well, let's make a plan that you won't regret. That is totally dropping the content, leaving the window wide, wide open now and creating all kinds of possibilities. If they get Sean to pause for a moment and say, well, mom and dad aren't telling me I can't go out. They're going to help me with a plan I won't regret. Then they're treating me like not only an adult, but I have some decision making here. That feels so much better for the person. And the beauty is that it models a way to communicate, a way to problem solve, and a way to move forward and create win-win with anger. Anger is so prevalent that we could feel overwhelmed by it, like we can't contain it. But these five techniques, and they don't have to be all used, one could be used at a time, or they could all be used at the same time. They will help you win it over with a little bit of practice. So allow me to recap, and do know that they will be listed in the show notes to this episode, which is titled Win Anger Over. It is episode 39. Part 20 of the Leading Chaos Story. So the first one is always to offer a person choice or choices when they're upset and angry. Instead of commanding them to do something, they'll be a lot more open to hearing what you have to say. Number two, take care of the person's self-image. Don't belittle them. Number three is acknowledge their power. And Mr. Marshall did that by saying a really simple thing, which was, I know you can make the right choice, versus demanding the person to, like, you know, deal with the situation. You give that person power and say, I know you can make the right choice. I use that phrase quite a bit because it resonates. It resonates with me. So it's an authentic thing I could say to somebody. And it typically resonates with the person I'm addressing. Number four, goes hand in hand with all this, is to always treat a person with respect. It's kind of like that Aretha Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. You know what it means to me. Okay. And then number five is to make it win-win. Provide a win-win solution. And, you know, what I mean by that is, like, it's not like you're going to come and get the whole situation solved. Win-win can be purely giving the person the time and listening, not interrupting, but actually listening. That could be win-win alone. But if you're offering choices, that creates a win-win situation too. So that's why these five things are all kind of happening at the same time and revolving around each other. So it's not just one thing that happens in that moment if you really want to win over anger. But that's it. You know, that I really keep those in my back pocket whenever I'm engaged with someone who's angry. Or let's say I'm angry. This is a great thing for me to communicate to folks who I live with or people that I'm working with, is to say, this is what works for me when I'm upset and angry, and this doesn't work for me. And if I communicate that, then I have maybe, you know, a little bit better chance next time I do get angry of actually being heard and seen. And that's a gift right there. So I hope that helps you, and I know it certainly helps me, and that does come from the Response Training Program's curriculum, and you could check that out on the link to this podcast's website.
Oh, yeah!
Now, I'd like to move on and give you an update about our friend Rosie Mae Erdale, who is pushing a bed from Scotland to southern region of the United Kingdom. And she's started this just a couple days ago, and she's gone up against huge winds, and it's just been pretty amazing ordeal, even in the beginning of this. And the thing is, you know, why is this woman doing it? Well, if you're wondering, why is a 25-year-old taking time off from her regular scheduled work to go and push a bed 1,200 miles, then you might want to listen to episode 34 of the Leading Chaos podcast, because I did interview Rosie Mae Erdale before she set off on this journey. And what I have been doing in the meantime is tweeting with her and going back and forth. I tweet with her, and then this other Twitter friend, Annalisa Christensen, has been tweeting too. And so if you go onto Twitter and just look up Rosie Mae's Twitter feed, which is at Full Reach. Again, it's at Full Reach, and follow along. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty something, because what happened right now is that somebody must have picked on her and said some bad stuff to her, which was like, you can't do this. This is ridiculous that you're doing that. And, you know, this gal doesn't need to hear that. So it's been a little bit of a tough road. And she's doing this for an amazing cause. She's trying to create awareness that we need beds for children who are vulnerable. I mean, what kind of person couldn't get behind that kind of cause? And she's doing it in this rather uncanny way, but she's doing something. She's just not sitting on her laurels and being satisfied at that. She's going out and making it really, really visible. So today, you know, she's had a hard time this week. So if you could give her a shout out, get on Twitter, if you are on Twitter, and start retweeting for her. I know it would mean a lot. She needs some encouragement. Again, her Twitter feed is at Full Reach. That's FullReach. Full Reach, just like it sounds. And I follow her via two of my Twitter accounts. One is at Rhea Windcaller, which is my, you know, alter ego. Yes, it's me. I don't know if I have an alter ego. Really, my alter ego, I guess, is at Leading Chaos. So I follow her on both of those. And we are trying to cook up some good retweets for her out in the world to move her along, because she's got a ways to go. And I will have a photo of Rosie Mae on this episode show notes. Again, this is episode 39. So there's a lot going on there in social media that we could reach out and touch each other, you know, in this virtual way and give encouragement. And that's a pretty cool thing to do. I like doing that. Okay, so I want to say that this is a wrap, and this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. I hope you're always safe. I know that you're kind, and I know that you'll make good decisions on helping others win over anger. Ciao for now.